Finding 5 O'Clock is a show about hobbies and alcohol. We recommend partaking in alcoholic beverages only if you are of a legal age. As always, please drink responsibly and enjoy the show.
Hey, 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 how's it going? Welcome to another episode of Finding 5 O'Clock. As always, it's your host, your boy Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the alcohol aficionado. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hi everyone, I'm Claire, clearly legal. I just realized I changed my Instagram handle to that last week and totally forgot about it.
Oh geez, you're tricking the listeners,
One by one, my social media accounts will all converge. It will be the great convergence when Good. Claire has one unified social media feed. But for now, it's just kind of,
Yeah, the clarification, if you will. How you doing?
I was hoping.
How you doing today?
It's been an up and down kind of day. I had my first exam of my last semester. It had 69 problems. Nice.
Nice.
I thought it went pretty well.
That's good to hear.
And today I'm actually, for one of my classes, doing research, which means going out to three different bars in the area and paying attention to their menu and their vibe. It's research. Oh. I love it.
So research is always nice when you get to enjoy it. That's good to hear.
I think my research is fun too.
You been up to anything cool since we last recorded?
I went on a wine tour. That's what I did. And the first half of it was actually a beer tour. And I got, I meant to talk to you about this.
This had
a rye barrel aged pumpkin beer.
Who made that?
You know, and it's really bad that I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's a brewery on the west side of Seneca Lake. I will look up the name of it later, but it is really delicious. They had a good variety of stuff. Their bathroom signs were, bad, frankly.
I'll text you
the photo right
now. Oh,
I'll text you the photo. They're one of those, like, bathroom signs are supposed to be clever with silhouettes and all of that, but one had a pedal glass in between the silhouette's legs, and one had like a skinny beer glass in between the silhouette's legs, and it was frankly bad. Also, I nearly walked into the wrong bathroom regardless.
Yeah,
so it was like on many different levels.
Enough.
Yeah, I just texted it to you. I said it. And it's just like, I don't understand who thought this was a good idea. Like, the rest of the bathroom was fine.
No.
The, like, awning over the, like, bathroom, like, door, like, the entryway was really cute because it had two people, like, just doing, like, a potty dance. And it was just kind of, like, cute and cartoony. But we get to the doorway itself and I'm like, I don't know where the fuck I'm supposed to go. Because it was our third stop and I was kind of drinky. I'm like, I don't want to interpret where the fuck is this.
Well, I can make a guess. Like, I think there's, like, some indications, but it's not good. And this is, like, not even... We're not even talking about things being problematic. This is just rough.
I know. I mean, I'm figuring the curvier one is supposed to be the more commonly referred to, I guess, as women's room.
I guess so.
But the big cue for me was I looked to the right and the door was opening and I saw one of my friends, like a dude, using the urinal.
Okay.
And that was my cue of, don't go there. Got it. Which I'm pretty sure not how signs are supposed to work.
No, this is just baffling anyway. Like, this isn't even like any kind of sketchy essentialism. This is just awkward. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
It was bad design.
As somebody who's in design, that does, like, or mm-hmm. visual management is one of the parts of my job. So that offends me on a human factors level. On a sociology level, I'm not offended. I'm just confused. But as, like, somebody who does design, I'm offended. And that's completely different. mm-hmm. Well, we're not here to review or recommend bathrooms, luckily. We're here to talk about beers and activities. do you want to get us started?
Real fast, a brewery we went to that was very cool was called Two Goats. They had dollar bills pinned all up around the ceiling, and all of the tap heads were different colored like goats, and they were really pretty. They were like gem colored goats. Anyway, I do have beers ready for you today. Neither of them are from the breweries I went to this weekend, because I tried to for once go to on a wine or beer tour and not come home with like four different things. So I decided to just go zero. and try to figure out a happy medium from there. So what I have two beers I can just get anywhere. I'm not going to name the brand of the first one just because I want to be able to talk about it more by the style than by the brand per se.
Okay.
But this one is a hopped Pilsner. So when you think Pilsner, you think very light. You kind of think towards more of those like the starter beers a lot of people start with like a lot of the beers you start with are lagers, but Pilsners are often very similar. I'm actually need to do more research on the technical definition between the two, but I think it has to do with their fermentation and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, I remember you said you were doing a little research.
But I did a little research, but it was more on trends in Japan actually. So I wanted to talk about how this beer is similar to new craft beers I've been able to taste from Japan. A year ago in a class I was in, I was lucky enough, the CEO of Kirin Beers flew all the way here in one of his suitcases. He brought back a bunch of the custom line new beers that they've started. And one of their projects was to have a specialty beer for every single province in Japan. Oh, okay. So Pilsner is just kind of an ale that tastes light.
Okay.
Is the very simplistic version. So lagers. Okay. So this is what I just didn't know that lagers fit into that. Maybe I'm under simplifying this. Okay. Oh, Pilsner is a subset of a lager. Okay. I oversimplified. A Pilsner is a subset of a lager. And they tend to be light in color. PBR is a Pilsner.
Okay. That's
to give you a reference. Whereas a lot of other ones you'll drink, like my friends and I drink Labatt Blue Light.
And that's a Pilsner.
That's a lager. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has to do with top fermenting versus bottom fermenting. Lagers all bottom ferment, which just means the yeast stays at the bottom. And it's usually at a cooler temperature. It takes a lot longer. But you get these very, very light, subtle characteristics. Which leads me into Japan, because Japan, historically, for a very long time, has drank a lot of lagers. The majority of theirs, the stat I found in 2013, 96% of beer sales were lagers. So they were really into it. But it was really neat. This tasting I did with the CEO of Kirin, he had us taste, I think, three from their province, like, expansion line, and one from their new craft brewery that they opened. What was really cool about their province line is they really tried to incorporate different, like, things that made each province unique, things from stories, things from, like, their horticulture, from those regions and stuff like that. What they left with is, you could taste a running theme between the three different beers, but each of them were distinctly different, despite the fact they were all very subtle tastes, very light and whatnot. And that reminded me a lot of the hop lager I'm drinking today. It's not like, I talked with my dad about this a lot one night. All beers have some amount of hops.
Sure.
But you don't necessarily see a lot of hops in lager style beers, because it does tend to overwhelm the very subtle notes that it has. So this hopped lager I'm drinking is, this hop Pilsner I'm drinking is interesting, because it's kind of doing that take on. It's kind of using ingredients in a slightly different way to reinvigorate an older product. But it's not doing it so in a super like intense way. Like I would call this more like a pale ale kind of like hop level. Not super intense. There's some hop, but it's still holding its structure together, and it's kind of nice. This all ties together, I promise, into some nerdy activity to go with it. YouTube, I was up until way too late, and I decided to start watching ProZD's Anime Crimes Division.
Genius show, genius man, by the way.
Oh my god, he's so good. And it just reminded me of that touch of new, touch of old, like, with like a very like, trying to keep things fun kind of atmosphere about it. I think those two really go together in the fact that they are both just like, you know what? this is what we're going to do now. This will be fun. I think that Spears is trying to take a thing that's been done over and over again and make it very fun. So that's my official pairing for this one.
Okay, so a nice nice Pilsner with some pro-ZD content, a.k.a. the Anime Hoppy. Crimes. Hoppy. Gotcha.
Hoppy Pilsner with Hoppy. The Anime Crimes Division.
I like it. That's a nice connection. Very simple to follow. Light and fun, just like the show.
Oh, that was I haven't finished the second season yet, so don't spoil me.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I saw the first one, though, and I had nothing but good things to say about it.
Oh, it was so good. Yeah, I know. Actually, to connect it with an American show, there was a show on Hulu with Rashida... Oh, what's her last name?
Rashida Jones?
I'm forgetting it. Rashida Jones, yeah. She was in a cop show called Angie Tribeca, which was really similar to the Anime Crimes Division kind of trope of take this very serious genre and just make it really absurdist. So if you want a more Western style version of that kind of like take, I recommend that show a lot. And it's super absurdist. It is like farthest you can take that genre. And I love absurdists, so it's so good. But anyway, sorry about that. All right. No, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, yeah.
Cool. That's the end of that recommendation. What are you drinking? Or actually, tell me about what you've been up to lately.
Yes. So my recommendation is not going to be traditional or necessarily the same way we do the format. But I went to a festival this weekend at the Southern Tier Brewery in Pittsburgh, and they had a pumpkin festival. So all their flavors of pumpkin were on display, as well as some other snacks that were infused with pumpkin. There's a local bakery that did like a little cheesecake cupcakes that were made with pumpkin. It's a nice bakery. I've had their dishes before. But I kind of just want to talk about the experience and sort of the beers that I had there.
I would love to hear about it.
Yeah. So just going to keep the pumpkin theme running of how this has been going for me. You caught me in my prime. We get there and it's very crowded. The craft beer thing has been recently kickstarted. Really big. Well, not recently, but in the last few years it really exploded. There was an initial boom at Southern Tier because it was a new place, which you're always going to expect people to just show up at a new place. But craft beer, I don't feel like has had the biggest sort of reputation in Pittsburgh. You know, we do have Penn Brewery, but we don't really have a lot of beers, craft or otherwise, from here, and not necessarily a lot of places that advertise as that sort of ideal. But it's been growing in the last few years, of course, especially there's been more bottle shops opening up, especially with our gas stations, Get-Go, which is a subsidiary of Giant Eagle, and Sheetz, famous rival to Wawa. They've been able to get beer there. Pennsylvania famously has been known not to be able to sell beer in gas stations. So as that's been becoming more common and popular, the craft beer craze, if you will, has been getting bigger in Pittsburgh. And also it's fall, which attracts a lot of people. So to say it in the most direct way possible, this audience seems to be a heavily pumpkin spice enjoying audience. Rather than your traditional, which you think is going to be a craft beer audience, which was a nice change of pace to not just see a bunch of dudes in flannels with big old beards talking about IPAs, which are delicious. I do enjoy an IPA as time has gone on, but that's typically what you would think of when you say there's going to be a beer festival. But this was more of a crowd you'd associate with pumpkin spice treats. And I don't mean that to be dismissive. I think it is interesting to see what it takes to get more more women into the beer scene. It wasn't very racially diverse at this festival. there's
But Pittsburgh also has that, is pretty non-diverse.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird to see that. But my parents came. I went with my girlfriend. We met another couple there. It was nice that we didn't plan on meeting them there. There's just somebody we met at the time. But I started the day off. These are all going to be Southern Tier beers with some kind of pumpkin in them. And I started with their cinnamon pumpkin, which the cinnamon taste was very overpowering, in a way that made it not necessarily pleasant to drink. Like, tasted too much like cinnamon. Not much like a beer that much. But I did talk to somebody who said they didn't taste the cinnamon at all in theirs. I don't know.
That sounds like something might be fun to mix in with, like, apple cider.
Yeah, I feel like I would like to have tried it warm, just to see what it would taste like, or mix it with a cider. But yeah, I didn't hate it, but I think it would have worked better on a flight than in a cup. Just a smaller amount would have been nicer.
Over an entire glass. Yeah.
Yeah. The next thing I had, I'm trying to remember, this was a few days ago. I didn't have a regular pumpkin because I know that tastes like I always have one. I think the next thing that I had was they had a chai pumpkin. I don't remember if it's chai latte or just chai, but it was a chai pumpkin. And that was a much better amount of cinnamon-ish flavor. Chai always reminds me of cinnamon and a nutmeg-y kind of taste. That was pretty nice. It was very pleasant. A little bit lighter while still being very flavorful and strong. That was good. And they also had their cold-pressed coffee version. That was pretty good too. Ooh, I didn't have a whole glass of that. It is good. I've had it in bottles before. It was good again this time. I recommend that one. It's not for all the time. It does have a very strong coffee taste, but not too strong. It's not a gross flavor. It is just a strong flavor, which is nice. And then I didn't have a full glass of it, but I did get a taste of, they had a rum barrel infused one, which was a nice strong 13.7%. I can't remember. 13.1 or 13.7%. And I just tasted that.
Gotta get those good barrel aged.
Yeah, it was. It had a very strong taste to it. But you know how when you have a drink, like a mixed drink that's too alcoholic and you can taste like the bite of it? It didn't taste like.
Oh, so you really got the alcohol in that one?
No, I didn't. But it. So that was weird. But it had a strong, like, rum barrel taste to it. Like, it tasted. Like, the rum taste was strong, but the bite wasn't strong. Like, it didn't taste like you were drinking rum. So it had a like a sweeter
That's a really
flavor.
Fun thing about yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
No. I was gonna say it was sweet and it was a very dangerous taste because I can imagine drinking that and the only thing that would stop you from drinking it would maybe be the rich flavor of it rather than the strength, but the strength would eventually get to you and probably put you in some kind of way. And then I had a Warlock to finish off my day. So three cups and a few sips of other things, but Warlock is my favorite. It's their Imperial Stout. So, if you like the idea of pumpkin, you know, you like your pumpkin beers, but you wanted a stout rather than an Imperial Ale, I would recommend Warlock. It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite beer, I'd say, like, of all year, all time. It's my favorite from them as well. And I got a Warlock t-shirt just because I didn't have one. I bought it. It's nice. They have sweet merchandise there. But I recommend all those, and I recommend going to a beer festival if you're into beer tastings. It was very nice. There was music there. People were hanging out. There was food. The atmosphere was very welcoming. No one was, like, really snobbing around. Everyone was just kind of with it with their groups, you know? Like, people were just chit-chatting, and, you know, we ended up talking to some people just because tables were limited. It was like whoever sits here gets here. And, like, hey, we're only using two seats. If you want some, come sit with us. So we ended up having, like, a nice group of people to chit-chat with. And if that's not really your flavor, I recommend just going to any kind of convention or festival with your interests and trying the local drinks there. So if you go to a convention, try the drinks that they have on tap, the mixed drinks, if they have anything that's local. I'd recommend trying that and just opening your horizons.
It's always really fun getting a taste of the local, like, offerings because it gives you more of a sense of, like, where you're at, more of a sense of place.
Yes, and although this wasn't local, it did give a sense of the atmosphere, and I think it was very nice. It was a very pumpkin spice type day. The weather was a little chilly, which made it work even better. It actually felt like fall.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Actually, back to the rum barrel aging, you not being able to see alcohol. You know, last recording when I freaked out about Xylobone?
Yeah, that's funny.
The beer I had been drinking, I don't think it was barrel-aged, but it was similar. It was 13%, did not taste a percent over, like, 5, but was still super smooth and easy to drink. And I did drink half of that pint during the recording.
Oh, right.
Which explains several things, I think, now.
I mean, Xylobone is legitimately hilarious, though.
So I understand entirely where you're coming from on the side of that rum barreled. But that rye barreled pumpkin I had is really similar. It had that very crisp kind of, like, bite to it on the edges, but not, like, super bitter.
So we're sure it's not the same brewery?
Which one? Say that again.
Are we sure that it wasn't the same brewery?
The rum same brewery with the weird bathrooms, but they had a really good beer. But yeah, that rye beer was definitely the favorite out of mine.
So you sure it wasn't Southern Tier that was the place you got that rum barrel aged beer?
I got the rye barrel aged beer.
Okay.
So it had been used for rye whiskey. But yeah, it was a local beer. It had been, the keg had been tapped like 2 days beforehand, which was awesome. Oh,
okay. I just know that this is up there in New York, so I wasn't sure like where at.
Southern Tier is about a good hour south of me.
Gotcha, yeah, because it's in what? Lakewood.
Mm-hmm. And I was on the east side of Cayuga Lake, for reference.
Okay. So yeah, what's your final drink and recommendation? I'd love to hear about it.
What my final drink is actually one of my favorite beers, although not my favorite beer. I did get my favorite beer, but my favorite beer is spring seasonal, and now I have to wait 6 months for them to produce it again. I'm really sad. But one of my other favorite beers is a Victory beer called Sour Monkey. People may have heard of Golden Monkey. I think you've drank it before. It's a Belgian triple.
Yeah, I don't have a great experience with a Golden Monkey.
It's a very high percent. Golden Monkey, I think, is 9.5. Sour Monkey is 9. Ugh. So literally what they did is they took their triple and they made it sour, which is basically my two favorite things shoved together. And unlike, let's say, when Polygon and Gil and Gilbert, they shoved a pepperoni and a strawberry together, they ate it together, and it tasted bad because those don't go together. These actually blend really, really well because it takes that richness that comes from a triple. You got all those malts. You got these big, big, big flavors. And it really hits it hits in the bite when it's really sour, the sourness, but it mellows back to that maltiness. And so all I've got aftertaste on my tongue is a little bit of salivating from the acid and just like a really relaxed palate. Like I don't really feel like I've been drinking anything that's sour. It balances out super well.
Very nice. That sounds like something that would just kind of twist you around a little bit in a good way.
Mm-hmm. And kind of with that, like, kind of switch up, I think, to be fair, I spent more time thinking about the Hoppy Pilsner because it really kind of threw me for a loop at what I would – there was no instinctive match for this. But for this Sour Monkey, it's a little out there. Like, who else has a sour triple? It's got this really wild branding, very unique, very flashy, if you might say. It's purple and green with this pink eyelid on the front. I love it. It's so within my aesthetic. I would probably pair it with Monster Prom, the dating RPG with like an unlimited number of like random endings and instances and like all these different unexpected different ways you could play the game, even though by its setup it's the same like three or four actions every time.
Nice. That's pretty cool. I think I've heard about that before. I heard it had interesting writing.
Have you played it before?
I have not, no.
So I'll go into more depth then. So my sister got me into the game, actually. My sister and one of my friends from home. And my sister actually loves narrating it. I have to send you her voice track of her narrating some of the lines from it sometime. She's very good at it. But this game, it's A, very sarcastic. Like if a video game written by youth, aimed at youths, and I say that to differentiate it from adults writing things that they think kids will be funny. So it has references to things, but it's more like references to like, ah, man, hell is funny. More than like, oh yeah, let's dab, I guess. That's what the kids do now. So it's got that very like sardonic sense of humor. It's very much within the times. And the setup is you have these different traits that you can do. It's things like intelligence, popularity, toughness, so I don't think that's the right term for it, but whatever, and money and a couple others. I'm not really caring about the specifics right now. And archetypes that you have to choose and you have to woo for prom. Some of them, it gives you no explanation on how to do this. Some of them are very easy to date. Some of them are much harder. Some of them you have to really work and not get a single thing wrong the entire time. And some of them are more forgiving. On top of that, there are random events that happen between each week that do things like takeaway stats or gift stats. And during every week's event, you also have interactions with these characters you're trying to woo, and two different options every time for which ones will work. They'll often go, one will go for one option, will go for one character in like the interaction, and one will go for the other. So you're talking to two characters, you have the option to woo either of them depending on your stats you earn throughout the game. It may work and it may not. They give you no warning. There's no like cap for certain responses. It really depends on what point in the game you're in and what you've been doing in that point in the game, and which character you're going after as well. And what happens is it leads to a lot of different weird situations. Like, I always try for really balanced characters because that's how I go as a person. My sister, when she and I play together, often just boosts one stat as much as she can, because for a couple of characters, you really need one stat to be good, one or two maybe. That's it.
Yeah.
But watching us get into situations every once in a while where the game throws us into weird situations, or like during each week, there's a lunchtime like interlude where everyone has to sit with a table, and there's multiple characters at each table. If someone sits at a table before you that has the character you're trying to woo, you can no longer sit there. What that leads you into situations where things might go okay for you. Sometimes you can win stuff. Sometimes you can boost certain stats. Sometimes you can win items, whatever. And sometimes it's just really funny because of how bad it goes. And so it's a really wild time, which I appreciate as a person. So that's how that game goes in general. I always go for Vera, who is the Medusa, and I have never gotten her once yet, but I have not stopped trying because I think she's super hot.
Never give up.
She's so hot. I can't handle it. But there's also like a party ghost. There's a hipster. Is he a vampire? I think he is. There's a werewolf who's the jock. There's a princess who is like a Atlantean princess. That's what she is. And one more who I'm forgetting. She's like a dominatrix.
I don't know. Is that a succubus?
Yeah. I think.
Look at me. I'm Mr. I have to look up these characters now. Monster Pokedex over here. Go me.
But no, it's super fun. There's hints. Oh, no. I forgot the devil boy. I forgot the devil boy. Devil. Never forget the demons. But no, he's super angry all the time and just wants to murder everyone. And so if you go with the very easy answer and you're very tough, you'll be fine. Like, that's how this game goes. But like, there's secret endings you can earn based on some things you can do. There's like different options for when you talk to characters nearly every single time. I've seen scenes repeated twice. And I've played it like 7 or 8 times now.
Oh, very solid. And just to remember, I'm bad. I've been drinking this beer. Bad with memory. What was the what was the beer you're pairing with this?
Victory Sour Monkey.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous and it adds a bunch of stuff together, is what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think it would work together, but it really like pulls together nicely.
Like monsters and dating.
Monsters, dating, and sour triples. What could go wrong? I don't see anything that could go wrong here.
Probably not a lot. that's wild. So,
but there's a secret character. He shows up in the credits. He kind of looks like Ditto, and no, I've not seen anyone unlock him, but I love him, and I want to know how to have him. He's beautiful.
So there's the goals.
He literally looks like Ditto wearing a backwards baseball cap, and I love him so much.
You said Ditto, like the Pokemon.
Yes, but wearing backwards baseball cap. That's, even has like little dot eyes and everything.
That's like the Amoeba boys from Powerpuff Girls.
Yes, but like cuter because he's pink.
That's fair, like Kirby or Majin Buu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez. So let's hit him with a quick recap. So we started out with a hoppy pilsner and anime crimes division, trying different beers at a local event, and sour monkey with monster prom. That sounds like A-plus recommendations. I think we're like beer geniuses or something.
I think we're getting on a roll.
We are great.
I think we're meant for this. We are destined for this.
This is what we're here to do, listeners. We're trying to help your lives. Our lives are getting better just from chatting and trying these things. Imagine how much better your lives will be after you hear this and then try the things we recommend. It's great. anything else before we get out of here, Claire? I think this is a nice, quick, short and sweet for the listeners. Anything you want to add?
I think just be on the lookout for new things to try. Pumpkin beer season, fun fact, they've been brewing these beers since about April or so. They'll stop tasting fresh around December, so get on them.
Yeah, and if you have them past December, that's fine too, because cinnamon is dope.
they don't like go bad like eggs go bad, but they don't taste as good. And I don't want people's experiences to be ruined by old beer.
That's a good point. Unless you're trying to vintage it, which I guess is something some people do.
It's better with sour beers and beers with high alcohol as a trend.
So pumpkin as an 8.6%, that'll be vintage. Would do okay. Well. Okay.
Like a year or two would be okay.
Yeah, I know people try to save them, so. But don't let them sit on the store shelves. Buy it for yourself and have it.
Yeah. Put it in a dark space at room temperature. Should be fine to go. Can you tell I also spent a lot of time with wine?
I had a feeling. But, listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Finding 5 O'Clock. Like we say at the beginning in the pre-intro, always drink responsibly. Only participate in alcoholic beverages if you are the legal age of the area in which you live. And thanks for listening. If you want to catch more from, I don't know, basically the podcast quote-unquote network you're listening to, you can find this podcast and all the other stuff we do if you look for Character Reveal all over the internet. So that's characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find our Twitter there, our Facebook there, our YouTube there, which we have, and a link to iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, you can find this podcast directly on iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, or any of your favorite podcast catchers. If you want to find us directly on Twitter, you can just search Character Rev. It's two R's in the middle. I think that's all the Character Reveal stuff. Again, you can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal or Instagram, Character Reveal. You can find me pretty much anywhere on the internet at Brother Dom. That's just how I roll. It's pretty good branding. Everybody knows it. If I want to be found, you can find me there. And Claire, where can the people find you if they're ever so inclined?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram now at Clearly Legal, CLAIRELYLEGAL. And at Twitch, but Clearly without the E. First D. Because I was dumb and missed it. And can't figure out how to change it. So if anyone could tell me how to change my Twitch username, that'd be great. But otherwise, just tweet at me, DM me, let me know any beers you want to try, want me to try, any activities you think you'd like paired with. I will give them a check out and I will see what I can find.
Excellent. And that's how it's done. So again, for like the 10th time this episode, listeners, thank you so much for coming along on this ride with us. Cheers. And until next time, see you later.
See ya.